Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
In the squadron, they called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
You know, there are still babies and children being held hostage over there by the Hamas goons and murderers. Why don't we hear about that? How is that not like the priority for the Biden administration? How is it that we are hassling Israel every step of the way and the condemnation of Israel and what they do to defend themselves? And I am sorry about the World Food Convoy, whatever it was, that chef from Washington, the Trump-hating chef, sent a bunch of his people over there to Gaza, to the middle of a war zone, to make meals. That's a very worthy, and there's a lot of valor there. But there's also a lot of risk, an understood amount of risk when you go into a war zone. Bad things happen in war. I tell people all the time, they think it's somehow like surgical strikes. And, I've seen it on TV, smart munitions. Well, you start throwing around smart munitions. Look, it's dangerous, all right? And collateral damage, friendly fire, mistakes get made all the time. It's just inherent with warfare. It's why you don't want to fight a war unless it's absolutely necessary, right? So to the people who lost their lives, that is terrible. It was a war zone. What is actually, in a weird way, worse, though, I think it's worse. I do. If you go to a music festival to enjoy yourself with your friends, and all of a sudden, Hamas terrorists are coming in on hand gliders, chopping heads off, raping women, mutilating children. That is somehow worse. I do think it's worse because, well, you go to a concert, you expect to see music. You go to a war zone, you expect to see war, and you know it's dangerous. So at least they had time to prepare themselves. I don't know, maybe long goodbyes with their families, that kind of thing. I wish they were alive. I admire the spirit, feed everybody. I've also been looking at some of the footage over there. The men don't look like, well, it looks like the men are getting their share of the food. It does. Yeah, over there in Gaza. So stop hassling Israel. And this Tony Blinken, this strange character, you know, somebody was telling me yesterday, these guys, they only have academic experience. They have no real, real politique. They don't understand the world. And Kissinger actually pointed this out. Kissinger was a total brainiac, but he was a brainiac who could act and who could size people up.
He once said to me, he said, look, the egghead with the briefing book is a pest that must be dealt with. Trump has the instincts of an animal, and I mean that in the best possible way. He walks into a room, he owns the room.
That is better. Walking into a room and owning it is better than 1,000 Tony Blinkens with their briefing books and their weakness. Cut 5.
An immediate ceasefire is essential to stabilize and improve the humanitarian situation and protect innocent civilians, and to urge Prime Minister Netanyahu to empower his negotiators to conclude a deal without delay to bring the hostages home.
Hmm. If you say it like that, do you think they're going to do that? To bring hostages home. To bring the hostages home. I just don't see that happening right now, with all the pressure being applied on Israel and not on the murderous barbarians. Cut 6.
Here's the current reality in Gaza. Despite important steps that Israel has taken to allow assistance into Gaza, the results on the ground are woefully insufficient and unacceptable.
Unacceptable? Unacceptable how? Unacceptable to whom? You? Let them win. Get this war over with. Your restrictions, your hassling, you're undermining Netanyahu. You're the ones who are dragging this damn thing out. It would be better for the women and children of Gaza to get this thing over with. I hate collateral damage. I hate the death of innocents, but it will happen on both sides. Cut 7.
Right now, there is no higher priority in Gaza than protecting civilians, surging humanitarian assistance, and ensuring the security of those who provide it. Israel must meet this moment.
I don't know if that is the highest priority in war. Is it the highest priority? The highest priority is eliminating the enemy, getting at the enemy. That's the highest priority. I mean, if the highest priority is the safety of civilians, then, well, you have no war. I mean, there's risk. Yeah, anyway. My heart breaks. Apparently, and I'm looking at Ben Shapiro and those guys, and in their view, and I think they're totally spot on. This is about Biden and Michigan. Biden and Michigan. This is Ben. Those seeking an internal moral logic to Joe Biden's actions in protecting Hamas will be searching in vain. This is very simple. He thinks his only path to victory runs through pro-Hamas voters in Dearborn and blue-haired gender studies majors in Ann Arbor at the University of Michigan. I like that. He is so good. Ah, one other. I was just talking about Greg Abbott, and he's not playing. This guy is not playing, the governor of Texas. I mean, I kind of wish he had sent them somewhere else, but I understand where he's coming from. Cut 9.
The complaining by Mayor Adams is nothing short than stunning. We made clear by contacting his office and said, we're not sending them to New York. So after a while, I figured, gosh, if I'm going to get the criticism, I'm going to get the credit. And thus began the busing of illegal immigrants to the sanctuary city of New York City.
Thanks a lot, Eric. He's got you there. Cut 10, please.
Let's be clear. The Biden administration is doing nothing to stop terrorists from coming across the border. They are knowingly allowing them in. And there's two categories here. They're the terrorists who were actually apprehended. The terrorists apprehended are an all-time record, many multiples of those who came across the border under the Trump administration. But second, you talked about the gotaways. Well, the terrorists will pay extra not to be caught. What that means is the number that we've caught, which is extraordinary, there's far more than that who've gotten across the border. Remember this also. Last month, the FBI director talked about a potential 9/11 type terrorist attack because of the terrorists who are coming across our border. The chief job of the president of the United States is national security. President Biden is failing at national security. We are extraordinarily concerned about a terrorist attack occurring in Texas or elsewhere in the United States because of the terrorists who are crossing our border at will.
Wow, a 9/11 scale attack. We know that they can't take over any airplanes, but who the hell knows what they could do? They've been bringing in stuff. I mean, they can bring in basically anything they want, anything. And China, I heard the other day that 136 Chinese nationals were apprehended at the border, 136 on a Tuesday. In 2021, that was more than all the Chinese nationals apprehended at the border in the entire year. Something's up. Something is seriously up. We have the earthquake ramifications. There's no aftershocks. I have not felt any. Aftershock is like the mini earthquake that comes later. We had 4.8 on the Richter scale, 4.7. But I'm told it's no longer a Richter scale, James Flippin. You can't say Richter scale.
Yeah, I'm not entirely. I remember I did ask somebody why they don't use Richter anymore, but it's no longer on the Richter scale. It's just a magnitude 4.8. Mm. And there was actually an aftershock reported in New Jersey, by the way. A 2.0 magnitude aftershock near Bedminster, New Jersey. Isn't that where Trump has his summer home?
Bedminster, yeah.
Well, yeah, Bedminster.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
no, all right. So 4.8, 4.7, and then nothing broke.
No, I mean, at this point, we're not really seeing anything that indicates major damage.
You know, why are there 17 press conferences taking place all over the place? State, local, federal, Governor Hochul, Governor, all of them. They're just, you know what they're doing? They're milking it, right? Fair enough. Milking it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that you were spot on last hour when you were talking about it, that they basically look for a chance to get in front of the cameras. And this is a, like a really well accepted excuse. And also it's widespread coverage. You know what I mean? Like this is going to be all every 11 o'clock news tonight. They're going to be front and center. A lot of drama, a lot of selling the drama.
Is it really that? It wasn't dramatic. I was there. You know, the first time I was in an earthquake, I thought it was a ghost.
You were telling me that off
the air. I
thought
it was a ghost. I didn't know what the hell was happening. The whole room was shaking. It was in 1998 or so. I mean, the whole room starts to shake. What are you supposed to think? I didn't think earthquake. I never sensed an earthquake. I thought there was a ghost. And then 8 times, I was like, was that an earthquake? And sure enough, it was an earthquake.
Do you still believe in ghosts now?
Well, no, but it did cross my mind today, like, uh-oh, is this the big one?
They're back.
Like, I know God's got to be really disappointed with what's happening on the planet Earth.
Yeah, well, I mean, you saw where Marjorie Taylor Greene was speaking about that, saying that earthquakes and eclipses are strong signs to tell us to repent.
Well, it's interesting. I'm not going to dismiss that. So there's the big eclipse coming on Monday, which is when the moon blocks the sun or the sun blocks the moon. What is it again?
Moon blocks the sun.
The earth blocks the sun. No. All right. The moon blocks the and it gets a little bit dark. So that's happening on Monday. We had an earthquake on Friday. Yeah. What does repent mean to you, by the way? The word.
Acknowledging your sin and working to overcome it, right? Acknowledging your shortcomings in the eye of God and looking to overcome that.
Yeah, I think that's the second part. Yeah, we all know to acknowledge our sins. That's asking for forgiveness. But the repentance part, my understanding is trying to do better next time. You know what I mean? It's not just a change in attitude. God, I believe, is looking for a change in behavior.
Yeah,
which takes it to the next level. And when I started thinking about, really repent. That doesn't just mean feeling guilty or bad about yourself or beating yourself up, it's much more productive to put that energy into correcting your behavior.
Yeah, it makes me think of like when I was a little kid and my mom would say, it's not okay to just say you're sorry. You have to actually be sorry.
Yeah, I know. We got that going with with Annalise and the other one.
It's not a get out of jail free card.
It's not. And yeah, 2 and 4. We're going to go see the pediatrician next week.
Okay.
Because behaviorally, we just want to make sure everything's on the up and up, right?
Behavior-wise.
Because, sometimes these kids, I mean, they can do, I mean, let's face it, they're little monsters too, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have fully developed moral compasses. So there's that. All right. And speaking of not fully developed moral compasses, I'm looking at Joe Biden. He's taking the stage in Baltimore. With the bridge in the backdrop, isn't that a little bit cheesy? He's putting the damn bridge behind him. Did you notice that? That is cheesy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, it's not cheesy.
It's in very bad taste.
Right.
He should do it indoors. But no. This is the image. It's all about image. And those image. And you know what it's about? Substance. Try substance, you nitwits. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Stop. ED is no laughing matter. This can be caused from low T, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Elevate Wellness can help. 40% of men over 40 have experienced this. Make the call to Elevate Wellness now. 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. The office visit is only $99 and includes exam, blood work, test dose, and consultation. Call Elevate Wellness. 973-354-2276. Or Elevate Wellness Group. Your health is important. Your sexual health is very important. And like everything else, it has challenges. As many as 50% of men over 50 have sexual-related difficulties, like ED, low testosterone, and low energy. That's where they come in. Elevate Wellness has real professional and in-person solutions. Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Or visit ElevateWellnessGroup.com and get back to where it started. Office visits only $99 this month.
If you're suffering from ED, you're not alone. 60% of men over 60 have this problem. Help is out there. The professionals at Elevate Wellness can help you be the man you used to be. They've helped thousands of patients and have a 96% success rate. What are you waiting for? Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Your first visit is only $99. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Help is out there. ElevateWellnessGroup.com.
Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, I love this. A friend of mine, Harrison Floyd, who was arrested down there in Georgia, fake arrested. They never should have arrested him. It's for the alleged crime of election interference in Georgia. They're hassling this poor guy. He just put out a message. I don't want to put a black woman in jail. Harrison Floyd happens to be black, by the way. But if D.A. Fannie Willis does not recuse herself from this case by noon on Monday, I may have no other choice than to pursue all lawful remedies. Make Fulton great again. He's going to sue her. He's going to do it. I just love it. I just love it. I will have no choice. You have a deadline. The defendant is giving you a deadline. All right. Watch out, Fannie Willis. You really should. I mean, come on. Oh, Viviana, welcome back. How are you?
God bless you, Greg. How's it going?
Wonderful, wonderful. You?
I called because I wanted to share some of the spiritual perspectives that I was speaking about with some of my other colleagues. I'm a chaplain, and we were saying yesterday during one of our prayer times, Lord, you're speaking to us through the eclipse, which is going to be on Monday. I realize he's also spoke to us through the earthquake today in New York.
Well, what did he say? What do you think he said today?
I think he's saying, please get your life in order and to make sure that you make a relationship decision between yourself and Jesus, because the times are going to get harder. If people look at Matthew 24, it talks about what is happening right now. If you think about also the epicenter, Greg, was Lebanon, New Jersey. We're having a major conflict in Lebanon, and Israel is being criticized by the United States. Historically, when the United States or any nation makes something against Israel, a charge, something happens in that nation.
Oh, my God. I'm not dismissing what you're saying at all, all right? I think you're on to something, but I have to just, I want your opinion. I mean, we had that earthquake in 2011, right? I mean, things shook, and it was kind of very much like this one. I remember that one. It felt the same way. So, and nothing really, you know, cataclysmic happened after that one. Was that one a message too?
Okay. Well, I'm not sure about exactly what was the historical backdrop of that one. All I'm thinking about is what God is saying in this one. And in terms of the eclipse, I just found out from a friend of mine who's in New Jersey. He reminded me that before Jonah went to Nineveh, there was an eclipse. And God was telling them, repent and come to me. There was also a major eclipse when Jesus gave up his spirit to God the Father. Something very dramatic happens during an eclipse.
Oh, boy. All right, we got to get our lives in order and get closer to God. Look, I did, and a lot of things happened that were very good, but I still got a ways to go. Hey, one other thing there, Viviana. You said you're a chaplain. Like, where? What do you, where?
I'm a chaplain out of the, it's called FLACA, of all things. I'm not very skinny, but Federal Latin American Chaplains Association, and they are commissioned by New York State. So I operate in Brooklyn, and what I do is I do prayer ministry, I do governmental activism, pro-life, and now as you give me opportunity and other people to speak into the culture, because if we do not draw near to God, Greg, and we do not get these elected officials that are embracing evil out of office, we're going to lose our nation.
We certainly are, and it's not enough to just sit back and watch it on TV. I like what you're doing. You're going out there. You know, Donald Trump has a big fundraiser, a lot of billionaires showing up. But we, the people, could raise even more money than those billionaires tonight if each one of us just did a little. All right? Do it. Do it. Everything is on the line.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, people all over, my contacts from all over the country and a few overseas texting me to make sure I'm okay because of the earthquake. Now, some of these folks, I think, are just trying to strike up a conversation. I'm looking on Twitter and people, that's like a meme. Some guy says, I'm about to, did you just feel the earthquake, my way back into her life, like using it as an excuse to reach out to somebody. Somebody tweets, I don't want to die in a studio apartment in the middle of the earthquake. These are jokes, by the way. Some guy named Ben tweets, can we have another earthquake? That made me feel so alive. NYC got an earthquake before. No, I don't know. First responders on the scene, and they got a big globe, and it's cut out, and they show two cops in the middle at the core, at the molten lava in the core. Let's see if there's anything else that's good. Let's do the Harlem Shake. Don't get that one. There's got to be something else here. Some Mormon soaking just had an unreal time. What does that mean? I don't know enough about Mormons to know. And then they get pretty lame. All right. Not as good as I thought. That's okay. Wait. No, that's, no, that's, oh, no, can't do that one either. That's, hey, no more racist memes. All right. Barbara, welcome back. How are you? Give us some wisdom.
Oh, hi. Well, I got a bit of wisdom myself today and I was so happy and it made me think of something that you had said before when the White House announced that there could be no religious themes on their Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. And you said, oh, that's probably some, you know, minor thing that some bureaucrat in the deep state put in. Well, you were absolutely right. And not only were you right about that, but you're right about assuming that the White House would twist it because it came from the American Egg Board. And the American Egg Board say they follow the rules of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Well, the U.S. Department of Agriculture says on their website that they can do nothing that would show preference to any individual religious or political viewpoints. Of course they can't. They're a government agency. But just because they're a government agency and just because this is the White House doesn't mean that the people attending the egg roll cannot show their religious preference. Of course they can. Just like students in a school, the teacher is a government agent and cannot show preference to any one religion. But if the students want to quote the Bible or talk about their church or talk about their faith, the teachers cannot stop them because that's the students' words and the students' expressions. So the White House had no right whatsoever to stop children or anyone from putting anything religious on those Easter eggs.
How about that? Yeah, I didn't. And they snuck it in there, and the Egg Council following the rules, and it just gets paste and copy, copy and paste, and it stays in there. How about that one? What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, here you are. You're putting the duck test to apply to this because to you, you know Donald Trump. You know his work for religious freedom. You know his own personal belief in God. And so the duck test told you, wait a minute, what the White House is doing, you know, it doesn't look right. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't feel right. And you were right. And it was not correct. And it was a duck. But you know who found this out? I have to give credit to Bill Donahue, the president of the Catholic League, because he did an article on this back on April 3rd, which I just found today and was so happy to see. And it goes right along with what you knew because you know Donald Trump. And even though you're very careful to go in and do your research and look at the facts, you also trust your judgment. just like your judgment about January 6th and the odd things that were going on with that policeman urging people to come into the Capitol, with the policeman walking away right before Ashley Babbitt was killed. So you trust the facts, but you also trust your intuition, and that's good for us.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, no, the your gut instinct and intuition. It's interesting. It's a fake news fallback. They'll whip it out. There's no evidence. Well, don't forget common sense. Don't forget your sense of right and wrong and fairness. And, you know, does this make sense? That all applies as well. And we're in a state right now where unless somebody can find an article in Politico or an article in the New York Times or, you know, a statement from some press secretary, then, you know, it must not be true or it must be true according to this article. And there's a hell of a lot more out there than some article or some misleading, deliberately misleading statement from a press secretary. All right. Even those who work for especially those who work for government institutions. Hey, Barbara, the other thing I wanted to ask you, excuse me, because you are you're a Catholic and I'm a Catholic, but I must say I've really been focused on the Bible. And but I get this guy, Carrie or Corey from New Jersey, nice guy, but he calls up and he starts saying, you know, watch out for Joel Osteen. He's this and watch out for the Pope. Now, I got all kinds of beef with the Pope, but at the same time, he's the Pope. You know more about Catholicism than I do and what's going on in the church. And we know that the Pope is a problem. And I remember watching Archie Bunker, that they had that old episode where the Pope was infallible. How are we supposed to handle the Pope when the Pope says something or does something crazy?
Well, oh my. Oh my.
Right? Right? You feel funny about it, right? It puts us in an awkward place, right?
Well, I believe that the Pope is the Pope. He is the head of the Catholic Church. However, the Pope only speaks infallibly in matter of faith and morals. So when he talks about climate change or anything like that, he's speaking as another person. Because he is the Pope, people give respect and attention to what he has to say. But that's not any more necessarily correct than anything you or I would say. Only if he speaks ex cathedra, if he speaks as the Pope speaking in that manner, and it is declared so, and it's not just from him, it's a whole process for the Pope to speak infallibly. So the Pope is not infallible. And if there are things that we disagree with him on politically and environmentally and so forth, we have every right to do that. We don't have a right to be disrespectful, which you are not, and I am not. But there are so many things that the Pope says and does that I do not agree with.
Phew! I'm off the hook. I'm off the hook. I get it now. I get it. Barbara, we thank you so, so much. And just before, it's a Friday. Sandra, I understand you have something to say.
Yes, I do. I wanted to say that my mother used to say, what's your 50? You know, whenever you have a problem with someone, what's your 50? Because it's a 50-50 thing. So when I have something going on, I like to say, if I offended you in any way, I'm sorry. I'm not saying in my mind that I did, but I am saying if I did offend you, I am sorry. So I just wanted to share that. And I also wanted to say one of the pictures on my wall did fall down this morning.
Well, you offended me and my family and the United States of America with your vicious and untrue comments. I'm only kidding. You did offend me a little bit, just a little bit, a little bit. But water under the bridge. Tell me
how
about.
How did I offend you?
I don't want to get into it right now, but you kind of. I'm not going to get into it. But look, tell me about the picture. Were you shocked and scared? You felt the earthquake, and the picture came down.
Yes, I was surprised, and the table shook too. But Greg, if I offended you in any way, I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. You did, but thank you. Apology accepted.
Know why, so I won't do it again.
I'm not going to get into it right now.
Well, think about it.
Sandra, thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. And best to the doctor. Her husband's a plastic surgeon. By the way, I got Botox a while ago, about 3 weeks ago. And I look like I have Botox for the first time in my life. You see my eyebrows like that? Like a cat eyebrows? I don't like this look. I don't know why they gave me like this. Like it's my face is always, it's the only reason why I got it. My wife suggested it because my brow is basically always furrowed. I'm always concentrating. So it's always kind of wrinkled. Anyway, I've got this weird look in my face all the time now. Like I'm always surprised. My eyebrows are arched or peaked and I look like one of those guys. I look, you know, I'm not yet, I don't know. Who's that guy? I have a problem. Can you get this stuff removed from your system? Is that possible? Does it go away? I never should have done it. I never, ever, ever should have done it. I pledge right now, nothing artificial, no Botox, no tattoos, no experimental vaccines. Thank you very much. Thanks for that. For nothing. Oh, man, that was a bad one. I'm not going to go full, you know, Christian Scientist, but I got to be a hell of a lot more careful. And from what I understand, Botox actually like it kills cells somehow. It kills the cell. I don't want it. I'm never doing it again. And please, please, please tell me that this look on my face is going to change. Be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
New video of Joe Biden, you'll see it later, touring the damage of the Baltimore bridge collapse. He's totally out of it. The people are leading him around. He's like, do I go there? Yes, sir. And then he kind of goes there and then he acts surprised. You got to see it to believe it. It's the probably almost the weakest I've ever seen him. It's really pathetic. And, you know, don't forget, there probably will be a switch. There probably will be a switch. They can't make this guy the nominee. Somebody somewhere knows that. And they have the mechanism to change it. The Democrat Party with their superdelegates. The Democrat Party, all about democracy, right? All about democracy. Remember, Joe Biden lost Iowa. He was like in fourth place. He was in fifth place in New Hampshire. And then all of a sudden, the word came out. It's Joe Biden, and everybody drops out. All the people who are beating him, they drop out. Joe Biden wins South Carolina, and presto chango, he is the nominee. Remember Donald Trump, how he had to fight it out in 2016? He had to fight it out. Democracy, baby. Democracy, and he fought it out this time, too, and crushed them. Hey. Do I want to play that clip of Eric Adams fighting crime? We'll get to that in a moment. But remember, if what's his name can't make it, Joe Biden, Kamala is waiting in the wings. And here she is. Oh, gosh. And she's really bad when she talks Israel, when she talks economy. And she's, even worse when she talks basketball. Yeah, here she is talking about basketball. Go ahead.
Do you know, okay, a bit of a history lesson. Do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022. Think about that and what that talk about progress, you know, better late than never, but progress and what that has done. Because, of course, when, you know, I had a bracket, it's not broken completely, but I won't talk about my bracket.
Is that true about the brackets? I don't think that's true about the brackets. I don't think that's true. Hey, the other thing, Eric Adams has been running around all week long trying to tell us that crime is down. Crime is down. Now, you got to hand this to Eric Adams, right? I mean, he told the New York Post, told everybody he was a cop, and he really knows how to fight crime. He really knows how to keep crime low because of all of his law enforcement experience. And here he is, actually, informing the public about how to stop crime, like McGruff, before it starts, even inside your own home. Thank you, Eric.
When a person was shot doors from my house, I realized how important my crusade is of removing illegal handguns off the streets of New York. Hi, I'm New York State Senator Eric Adams, And for 22 years, I wore a bulletproof vest and stood on the street corners and protected children and families in the city of New York. I'm asking you to join me in this crusade of removing illegal handguns off our streets and out of our homes. Please come and join me inside my house as I show you how simple items such as bamboo paper can be an indicator of marijuana use, or a cut of straw can be an indicator of using cocaine. I will show you how to search a room to ensure that you remove illegal handguns and other contraband from your home. What I would like to show here is to empower parents on how to search a room inside their home. It's imperative that you should know what's inside your household. And no one can state that you can't search a room in your own home. You write the Constitution. There are no First Amendment rights.
Can you believe this? Can you believe this? It was one thing when he was state senator, nobody. Now he's the mayor. He's got 50,000 guys, and he thinks he knows what he's doing. Hold on. Give me a few more seconds of this.
Household, it is your obligation and responsibility not only to protect the child that may be using an illegal drug or carrying an illegal gun, but you also have to protect the members of the household, their younger brothers and younger sisters, and the other elder members of the household.
All right, thank you. They become politicians. They think they can tell us. You know, it's like Kathy Hochul tells us to be careful on icy roads. Jimmy in Staten Island, yes.
Hey, Greg, thanks for taking my call. You were speaking about repentance before. I just wanted to read something from the Bible first and explain. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying the time is fulfilled. And
All right. You're reading very fast. Just cut to the chase, all right? What do you want to say, all right? We know the Bible. What do you want to say?
Jesus commanded to repent and believe the gospel.
All right, told me you were going to straighten me out on what repentance means. What does it mean in by the definition? Because I wasn't wrong earlier, by the way. I wasn't wrong. You're not saying that, right?
It's the Greek word metanoia. It's a compound.
Jimmy, I know. Jimmy, it does connote a change in behavior, not just a change in attitude, correct?
It means to reconsider, and what we're to do is to abandon what we're trusting in ourselves.
You know, this is one of the things, though, I got to tell you, every time I say something about the Bible, 10 people call and tell me how I wasn't perfect. And that's one of the reasons why people refrain from talking about this stuff sometimes. Everybody wants to straighten each other out when it comes to these issues, you know, except for, well, there's some people who are different. Anyway, Jimmy, I can't tell if you're saying I'm wrong or right or what's going on here. Finish your thought.
I just want to recommend, go to Blue Letter Bible online and look up the word repent, and that'll explain to you what it means.
All right. Well, you know what, Jimmy? Thank you. But this is, all right, look, we're having a conversation. That's fine. But I think we were, you know, every time, and it does kind of inhibit people talking about the Bible sometimes. I don't have the blue label, whatever. I have the Charles Stanley Light Principles Bible. And it is the King James Bible. And I thank you, brother, seriously, though, for the call. And I appreciate where you're coming from. Carlotta, hello.
Hi, how are you? Okay.
What is it?
I had two daughters. They were 21 months apart, and there were issues. And this was like 50 years ago. A pediatrician explained, and it was very effective. I explained to the older one that sometimes your hand develops before your brain, and your hand does things that your brain doesn't want to do. So it's okay if you grab a toy away from your sister, and then you realize you don't really want to behave that way, and you just tell her, you explain to the younger sister, now the child, that she just has to wait for the brain to develop, and she won't do that anymore. So it helps the child. They don't feel guilty about their behavior. They just share that problem with their younger sister. Have I made myself clear?
I think I get it. Her brain isn't fully formed, and that's why she did what she did. I tell this to the older sister about the younger sister. Is that right?
No, you tell the older sister to explain this to her baby sister.
Oh.
So that the baby sister sympathizes with her for her behavior.
Wait a second. You're telling me that the older sister is to tell the baby sister that the older sister's brain isn't finished. That's why I did what I did. Is that it?
Yes. So
that sounds like, I don't know if that's going to wash. I don't know if that's going to work.
Well, Well, they're sharing a problem, and it worked beautifully, and my two daughters could never be closer. Then the second thing, well, the third thing, Barbara did such a wonderful job explaining about the Pope. That was so enlightening. And then the third thing.
All right, Carlotta, thank you. Out of time. Donna is standing by. Hello. Third thing. Fourth thing.
Hey, so, yes. Hey, Greg, it's Donna. I just want to say something about the Pope and Roman Catholics denote allegiance to the Pope. But traditionalist Catholics do not follow the Pope. And basically, because they don't follow the changes, they don't accept the changes of the Second Council.
This is where it gets very complicated for me. You know what I mean? This is gets very complicated. And doesn't it, right?
Hello?
Yeah, doesn't it get complicated, like overcomplicated sometimes with this stuff?
Not really. Basically, Jesus died on the cross. He already saved the world.
That part I know. It's the Vatican II, the Vatican I, that stuff. But Donna, thank you. So sorry. The music. I got to go. Great weekend.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.